Welcome to the No BS Spiritual Book Club's live streaming interview series, where leading New Thought teachers, speakers, and authors share the intimate stories behind the 10 best spiritual books that inspired them the most on their spiritual journey. From well-known classics to hidden gems you might never have heard of, the No BS Spiritual Book Club saves you time and money by sharing reliable recommendations from those who've walked the path before you. The No BS Spiritual Book Club, the only No BS guide to the best spiritual books to inspire your own journey of self-discovery. Here's your host, founder of the No BS Spiritual Book Club, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello and welcome. To describe someone as a force to be reckoned with might sound somewhat trite, but today's guest has certainly earned that appellation. Growing up on a country estate where her family worked in Northern Ireland, Molly Harvey's thirst for reading was ignited by Lady Waterford, who would come knocking on the family's door every Christmas, carrying a brown wicker basket containing a gift of a new hardcover book. When Molly's father died when she was just 14, her mother pushed her to leave school and go to work. When Molly refused, her mother cut up her school books. Undeterred, Molly pledged to read a book every month for the rest of her life. From these humble beginnings, Molly Harvey rose to become a global figure in leadership development, the visionary founder of OWL, Outstanding Women Leaders, the first female president of the Professional Speakers Association in England. Molly is a speaker, an advisor to the Global Angels Foundation and The Fountain, an alliance of Indigenous elders and Western economists dedicated to restoring a sacred world economy. She's also the author of 9 books. And Molly's story proves that despite early challenges, anyone can achieve their dreams with determination. Molly Harvey, welcome.
Good evening. Hi, Sandy. Thank you so much. Lovely to just connect with you.
You too, Molly. So a book every month for life. Did you keep that vow?
I have, yeah. Probably even more some months, being honest with you. It's just that passion that was ignited at such an early age, you know, when I was 15 years old when Mammy tore up my books, and she did the best she could. That's what I always say. She did the best she could. There were hard times. I was the oldest one. She was 36 when Daddy had passed, and she needed me to go out and get a job. I actually managed to stay on at school because I went and I had a few words with one of the nuns. But, you know, I'll never forget that day that she tore my school book up and a few more of the books. And as I said, she did the best she could at the time. But in that moment, I didn't know, Sandy, what reframing was in those days. But in that moment, I promised myself that as soon as I'd start earning money, I would read a minimum of a book a month for life.
Mm. Wow.
And it's been one of the things I can proudly say at 58 that I have done and that I continue to do.
So with all the books you've read, how easy or how challenging was it to distill your list down to just 10?
To be very truthful with you, it was very challenging. It was very challenging, absolutely, really challenging. And the only way I could distill the 10 down was I had this picture of myself at the times of my life. I call it sitting at the crossroads on a stone, on a big old stone. And then, you know, you see the signpost and it says you can go this way, that way, or that way. And you really don't know what way to go until you turn inwards. Or that was for me. I've always turned inwards. So I actually went back to each decade of my life. And that's how I picked the books. And I thought, what was the book that helped me when I didn't know the next step?
Yeah. So every single one of these really did have a major impact on your life trajectory.
Absolutely. They've been part of the turning points in my life. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Major.
So let's start with number one on your list, which is a book that comes up again and again. No surprises there. Jonathan Livingston Seagull by Richard Bach, and that was published in 1970.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was 14 years old. Daddy passed away in the July. And I suppose 14 is a very, it's a very tender age. Mm. And somebody gave me a copy of Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and I started to read it. And when I started to read it, it brought me inside, but also I sensed that freedom that Jonathan sensed, that inner freedom, because I was always the curious child. My grandmother said, "Now, how many more questions will you ask before you go to bed tonight?" You know, and I was always that curious child. But it, I just, as Ray Bradbury, he said it first. He said, "Richard Bach does two things in the book. He gives me flight, and he makes me young." And I feel so privileged that I was given a copy of the book at that age. And there's a story beyond this. When I was searching for these 10 books, Sandy, it was actually, I thought, I'm sure somewhere I should have a copy still of it. And there's an old trunk at the bottom of the bed with journals. And I have just a handful of things of when I was that young. And that handful was the book and some old journals. Mm. And the other thing that made me stop and ponder was because when I was reading the book, I used to always have this fascination as a child. I used to say, "I've got to be me to be free." I don't know why. It was something inside me, the spirit inside me. "I've got to be me to be free." And, you know, thank you to you. When I found the book again, I had remembered that at 33 years old, I was taken to probably what would be called a mystic, an old man. And I remember coming away from him and saying, "I am me, I am free." So that's the best way I could describe Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Yeah, beautiful book. Number two, Anamkara, another one that comes up again and again, Spiritual Wisdom from the Celtic World by John O'Donoghue, published in 1996.
John lived in the west of Ireland. I grew up in the southeast of Ireland. And John's books are just music to my soul. John has a way of playing the strings on my soul. And, you know, when I open his books, everything he's ever written, I have read. But Anamkara, I give to every woman who becomes a soul friend in my life. Because Anamkara is soul friend, you know, and you can open it at any page. Like I'm just opening it here now, and it says, "Beauty likes neglected places. Only in solitude can you discover a sense of your own beauty." You see, he just had that way. He had the soul's language and in all his writing, but in Anamkara in particular, you know, I think it's the threads that goes through his veins being Irish. You know, we're brought up in mystery and mystique. And that spirituality, that deep sense of self, you know, I learned to see on the inside when I was 6 years old. I learned to turn inside. John has a way of bringing that out in his work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
you know, Ireland and the Irish have that I don't think anyone else has in the world. And that is such a sense of soul, something that is so, so deeply connected. You know, it's really beyond, I think, anyone else's understanding.
You're making me smile there. I can remember being 12 years old and I saying to my grandmother, "How am I going to get a job? I only want to work with the soul." And my grandmother said to me, "Stop speaking to them fairies." And she said to me, "I've bought you up too much," she says, "around the fire," she said, "and all the fears." And I said, "But Nanny, I only want to work with the soul."
Yeah.
And I suppose in a funny sort of way, all of my life, I don't know what it is, because I suppose it's like it's the first food we're given as soon as, you know, it's like that rice, but it's rice for the soul when you're when you're 3 or 4 months old. You know, and I suppose it's the wisdom, it's the inner wisdom. And we're taught to put our eyes on the inside from an early age. And yeah, John has the way, as you know, John has the way of the poetry, the music. You know, he's a scholar of the soul.
John, that is a very good term, actually, scholar of the soul.
He's a scholar of the soul.
So book number three, hearing what you've just said, you know, we understand why book number three is on your list. It is Silence, The Power of Quiet in a World Full of Noise by Thich Nhat Hanh, published in 2015.
I have most of my life, from once I knew how to do it, I had the great privilege of my life, as I said, of growing up in a country estate in County Waterford, you know. So my friends were horses and the dogs and the land. And there wasn't a lot of small children around me. So it was all the adults were the wisdom keepers, you know. But I learned about silence in the early morning. I then learned very young that actually I learn when the world sleeps. So that's through the practice of getting up early, you know, and that's one thing that Thich Nhat Hanh has practiced is the power of silence in the early morning. My meditation was just very similar to his. It's just, it's a simple candle. Everywhere I go, the candle goes. The candle is lighting here this evening. And that's the world, you know, and as he says, every day, ask yourself, am I empty or am I full? And too often today, we're full. We're full of the outside noise. We're full of everybody else's opinion. Whereas I've learned that when we turn inside to the flame of the inner cathedral, that's the soul. That's where the silence is. And I suppose I have learned from practice, and I'm still only in kindergarten, by the way, but I've learned from practice to still the voice and listen to the small, still voice. So really silence, that book more than all these other books from me, has been that thing. It's that quest to learn to switch off the outside noise.
That's interesting, you know, synchronicity. I read a piece, a news item, just I think it was yesterday, about the power of silence and how we all need, we really need, you know, to be alone, to spend time alone, because that's when we can really go inwards and reflect on things. And of course, in the world we live in today, it's very hard to find that alone time.
Absolutely. And I only write in silence, by the way. And I never write in the day. I only, when I'm called to write, I'll only write probably, I'll start at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning until that book's finished. You know, and but then maybe that's when I'm empty enough. I don't know, you know. You know, and it's the whole thing of practice, and the, I suppose the word today is used is mindfulness, isn't it, really?
Mindfulness. I like the words you know, contemplation and reflection. You know, I think that they're really powerful things to, you know, gifts to give ourselves, time to contemplate and reflect.
Absolutely. And I think the time to question ourselves, and that's what you do in contemplation.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, our life is just full of noise.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
So the next book, you've read this book 43 times. It is Zero Limits, The Secret Hawaiian System for Wealth, Health, Peace and More, Joe Vitale, published in 2007. 43 times.
Yes.
That's a lot.
And I've just started the 44 times after taking it out when I was looking at the books, and I thought, I have never read any book like it. And it's so simple, but so phenomenal and so life-changing. And it was given to me, I can even remember, November, I think around the 27th of November, 2007, by a fellow teacher called Gary Plunkett, who's passed now into spirit world. He passed away at 50, I think he was about 56. He was, and he was a Hawaiian. He studied it, and he gave it to me in 2007. He said, read this, Molly Harvey. And I just was blown away. I was just blown away about this ancient methodology of four sentences. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. But it's not four sentences. It's another discipline that I've integrated into my life. I have that even as I'm speaking to you now, playing on a recorder in somewhere in my head, because it's just become part of my life. And that's Ho'oponopono. And it was Dr. Lee Hulen. That's how I say it being Irish. It's a much longer name than that.
Yes.
And that man, how humble he was, Sandy. How humble. And, you know, it takes you back to zero. I especially use the work of this when I'm challenged, when I meet conflict, and when I have met grief and challenge, and my soul has come knocking at the door. I even use it every night as I go to bed. It's my last words. I use it when I wake up in the morning in silence. And I couldn't even tell you after 43 times, but the magic of it clears me back to zero. And zero to me is consciousness.
Mm. So each time you read it, do you get something different, or is it just a reminder?
Each time I read it, in fact, I buy so many books. This is how the books, but I've kept the original, and I buy the books again. And I haven't bought the book 43 times myself, but I have bought it maybe 5 or 6 times. I never have ever read it. But there's, you know, what's going on in me that's coming up in him and her? How can I be 100% responsible? What a great question to ask yourself.
Mm.
You know, divine intelligence, it's within us. It's not out there or through anybody else. It's within you and me. But why do we go looking for it on the outside? So, you know, just here's the last piece. There's two ways to live your life, either from memories or from inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that 55 minutes out of every 60 minutes, that 55 minutes we're either talking from something of memory, the past. And if we're lucky in every hour that we live, if we're lucky, we'll be in the present and the future. And inspired.
Mm. Well said.
So that book 43 times. And now can I just say I'm into the 44 time.
That's got to be a record, I think. Yeah.
And I learn all the time.
So book number 5, Present Over Perfect, Leaving Behind Frantic for the Simple, More Soulful Way of Living by Shauna Nyquist, published in 2016.
Probably the book I wish I'd written. Because leaving behind the frantic for a simpler life. I live two lives. I live a very busy life on the business side, and then I have the other side, which is the humanitarian side. And you know, the ego is so clever. And the ego, you know, the ego is so clever. Oh, but what if I take this on? Or what if I take that on? And that present over perfect really kicked me and made me stop and turn inwards and reset my soul again. So much so that I ask myself three questions now. What does my head want? And then I go, what does my heart say? But then I go, but what does the soul say?
Yeah.
And I can tell you there'll be three different answers, absolutely. I think it gave me courage, permission, and strength to step off the hamster wheel. And that's a great way I describe that book. You know, and this sentence I will never forget. It's better to be loved than to be admired. Doesn't that say it all?
Yeah.
Better to be loved than to be admired.
Tell us the rest of that. There's a little bit more.
It's better to be, that's right. It's better to be truly known, to be seen and taken care of by a small tribe, than to be adored by strangers who think they know you in a meaningful way. And I'm going to say that again. It's better to be adored by strangers than to be adored by strangers who think they know you in a meaningful way. Isn't that powerful? You know, a small tribe. Because it reminds me of that song as well of Charlie Lansborough. It's called Five Fingers. The song is called Five Fingers. Yeah. And he said that if you can count on five fingers, one to three to five people that you know you can talk to, that you know you can trust your soul with, isn't that to be blessed? That small tribe.
Yeah.
So very, very, very powerful book. Where in her rawness, she shares her story. And her story got me then, it kind of hit that raw nerve in me to say, what's it all about, Alfie? So, present
book number six is The Magic by Rhonda Byrne, published in 2012.
Okay, yeah, book number six. What did that do? Right, that did gratitude at a whole other level. The other thing about Rhonda Byrne's book on the magic is it's very practical, because every morning you'll bring it with your morning journal, and every morning you'll do a very small chapter of it. And I loved her approach, because I began, after about 4 or 5 days, I began to look forward to what would she talk about today. I loved the exercises. I loved the questions. You know, think of magic words like thank you. What are those words that are magic? Bless you. Thank you. I appreciate you. And then what if you get out of bed every day and your first two steps were to be, thank you. I'd only ever heard that before, by the way, from Wayne Dyer. His first two steps every morning were thank you. But what a reset and what an instruction you're given to your mind before you even get out of bed. Every day, the book covers a different area in your life, such as health, relationships, money, power. And most of all, how to transform mistakes into blessings. And that's a great habit to put into your life, to be able to reframe those really challenging times in your lives, to reframe and look for the blessing and look for the lesson. And that's what Rhonda Byrne's magic did for me. And I gifted it to so many people. Look for the blessing, look for the lesson. Yes, this has happened. And the longer we live here, none of us get out of here unscathed, you know. But the fact is, if we can find the lesson and we can find the blessing.
Yeah. Always.
And
yeah.
There's a bit of, there's kind of a bit of a tapestry here going on with these 10 books as well. And it's all really, I suppose, silence, blessings, gratitude, that inner journey. And you know, the funny thing is, Sandy, none of them cost any money. Doesn't cost any money.
No.
But it'll take time and it'll take discipline.
Yes. Yes, it does. But it also really brings you back to appreciation. And as you said, gratitude, which is such a powerful thing to acknowledge in your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And especially powerful, you know, for times in your life where you're challenged. You might be challenged with money issues or whatever. And then you're thinking, you get into that scarcity mode. But it's actually coming back to think, well, what have I got to be grateful for? Joe Vitale said, pick up a pencil. Be grateful if you own a pencil. Start there.
Yeah.
And I think Oprah talks about it all the time as well. She says, you know, first we have to be grateful for what's in our life.
Yes.
Which, if we're not careful in this world today of noise, it gets us into the habit of more.
Next. Next.
Absolutely. Next. When actually less is more.
Yeah.
Less is more. You know, what can you be grateful for? I can be grateful for the cup of coffee. I can be grateful for the roof over my head. And it's the most basic things. And I have found that the more grateful I am in my life, the more my life flows. That's the magic.
Yeah, that is the magic. Okay, so it's time for a short break now. You're listening to a No BS Spiritual Book Club interview and sharing the 10 books that had the biggest influence on her life journey. Today is author, speaker, global expert in leadership development, visionary founder of Outstanding Women Leaders, and the first female president of the Professional Speakers Association in England. And not to forget, a dedicated bridger between worlds, Molly Harvey. We'll be back with more of Molly's 10 best spiritual books after this break.
Om Times TV.
Maya Angelou once said that there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and when I'm not hosting Om Times Media's flagship radio show, What Is Going On, and the No BS Spiritual Book Club, I help people share their untold stories. Books are my life, my joy, and my passion. And there is no greater reward than helping aspiring writers get their books out of their heads and into the hands of those who are waiting to read them. If you feel that you have a book in you, but don't know where to begin, visit sedgbeer.com, click on the Work With Me tab, and find out how my experience helping others tell their stories might be just what you've been looking for. That's sedgbeer.com, sedgbeer.com.
Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Own Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Own Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Own Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Own Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Own Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's 1 in 5 daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. Molly Harvey, book number 7, Walking Home, A Pilgrimage from Humbled to Healed by Sonia Cherquette, published in 2014. One really does see the tapestry that you've woven here with these books now that we're getting into the second half.
Mm. Yeah, Walking Home, Sonia Cherquette. Yeah, gosh, that book really, really touched me. My life was turned upside down in 2014. Divorce came knocking at my door. And I remember screaming at my own soul, with my own soul, saying, ask me anything. Family's my number one value. And just the stillness of that voice. And I had 3 invisible friends as I went through my divorce. And that was sadness, guilt, and shame. And the Irish do guilt better than anybody else. Sorry, Sandy. We do guilt better than anybody else. And somebody said to me, walk the Camino. Walk the Camino de Santiago. And I have many beautiful American friends. And one American friend in particular, she said, come on, I'll do it with you. It'll be my 70th. And we'll do a week of it. So we both read the book beforehand. And what a great preparation. You know, because the book is all about really from being humbled in life and brought down to size, as my word, to healed. And I walked the Camino with those 3 invisible friends and I was healed. And Sonia, I won't read the book, but she had, you know, a divorce. Her brother died. Her soul came knocking on her door very strong, as did my soul, you know. And I think what I learned from the book was I learned to heal and honor relationships. That's the first thing, with myself and with the invisible presence that has walked with me since the moment I was born. I think the second thing, it encouraged me, that book, when I felt like quitting, to just get up and put one foot in front of each other, one foot in front of the next, in front of the other. And I especially had that remember on the Camino. Mm-hmm. You know, it was fine, but I hit the wall, the spiritual wall, on day 3. Louise hit it on day 1. I hit mine on day 3 with blisters, and that was it. I was going home. Mm. And yet, because I read her book, Walking Home, I remember getting back to the hotel that night, and I went to the room and I had the book with me. And I just thought, where did she talk about hitting the wall? I can get past this invisible wall. So that's how powerful that book was, you know. You see, one other lovely sentence in the book is, in life, we cannot hold on to anything except fear or love. Mm. And what happens when we find love? The fear scurries away. Yeah. What happened in me walking the Camino? The shame scurried away. The guilt scurried away and the fear scurried away. Why? Because I took one step every day, and that's the power of walking home. I would say, especially if you're called to walk the Camino, read that book before you take the first step on the Camino.
So book number 8, similar experience in a sense, Entering the Castle, An Inner Part of God and Your Soul by Caroline Mace, published in 2007.
Yes. I've read all of Caroline's work. But when she came out with Entering the Castle, again, it just grabbed me. It grabbed the holiness inside me, because I had called my own inner space was called the inner cathedral. And this was the castle. And I'd explored from 6 myself. I explored every day. I learn every day. That, you know, that cathedral or that castle has many rooms. And we have that castle inside us. And the book is fascinating, because if you love Caroline Mace's work, this book she wrote in a different way. This book, she had Teresa of Avila in every step. She was really channeled by St. Teresa in this book. You know, her writing, everything, and even when I watched her speaking, you know, and or whatever, when she spoke, it's almost like a different presence came into her and through her. And she became Teresa's presence. It was so powerful. I mean, and the words, we're all mystics today without monasteries.
Yeah.
We're all mystics without monasteries. You know, you see your soul as the castle. And each and every one of us, we are mystics. We're all mystics, and nobody is better than or less than, you know. And when you start seeing yourself as that, it gives you a different lens on the world, a different way of seeing things, you know. And again, that contemplative, those deep questions, asking yourself now and again, what is this deep self of mine? What is this deep self of mine? And then, for me, I always go everywhere with a journal, and letting that inner deep soul, letting it speak to you. And I've also been brought up since I was very young to understand that, you know, my soul is not in my body. Our soul is everywhere. Our body is in our soul. And that's the wonderful thing again about the mythology of the castle. The castle is vast, or as small as you want it to be. And, you know, all that we experience today has its purpose in tomorrow's events. And sometimes that purpose is not evident for years.
Yeah.
Sandal, all of my life, I think, I was even being prepared for us to have the connection that we're having today.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a coincidence.
No.
It's that tapestry, and we all have a tapestry, and every day that we wake up, we get a chance to, you know, to just sew another bit into that tapestry. And that becomes our life. So Entering the Castle, yeah, the inner, I'd say it's an inner path to God.
Yeah.
Whatever God is for you, whoever God is for you, and your soul. God to me is consciousness. You know, it's many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Very personal journey.
Indeed. So book number 9, An Angel Called My Name, A Story of a Transformational Energy That Lives in the Body by Jyoti, published in 1998.
Yeah. Book number 9 was given to me again, a time when my life went upside down. So I had the great privilege in my life to be introduced to Jyoti in September 2012. She was, Joyti, by the way, was the visionary and the founder behind the 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. And then she also is the mystic and the visionary behind the fountain. She's a yogi.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be in our presence. And really, the book is about her life and what took her, what asked her to give up everything to do the work that she does in the world today. And she is a walking mystic and a yogi. And it's really about her journey, you know. And what I will say to everybody out there listening in is, some journeys of the soul are very painful. Joyti's journey to the soul was also very painful. And sometimes your life, your soul will ask you to let go of everything. And especially let go of the life you might think you're going to live.
Yeah.
And that's what the book is about. What her body went through, what the soul asked of her. And I would say how every day, if you're being called right now, because there's such an awakening across the world more than ever before, how can you wake up and say yes? Because your soul will come knocking for you. And then one day it'll knock and it won't go away anymore. It will knock until you open the door. And an angel came knocking for Joyti. It's a beautiful book, but it's a very deep book about, you know, each chapter is like the death of awakening, the seduction, jumping into the void, the dark night of the soul, entering the heart, pregnant with God, circles closing. Just in those words, it gives you a snapshot of the beauty of that book. And I feel so blessed.
And that's
that she entered my life.
First time that book has appeared on this show.
Right.
Thank you for adding it.
Oh, thank you.
So your final book is, I mean, you describe this book as a spiritual guide to help people open up to the union of love. It is Change Me Prayers, The Hidden Power of Spiritual Surrender by Tosha Silva, published in 2017.
Yeah. I think with her work, what I learned as well is that the ultimate illusion in this life is to think we can own anything. Because really, we're just custodians, guardians. And we get carried away being owned by everybody else, owned by the mortgages, owned by the debt, owned by everything else. And Change Me Prayers is one of those, it's the simplicity, Sandy, of the book, of how she encourages you as well to write your own prayers. Write your own prayers. Or maybe, here's a different thing. What if our life is a prayer? Our life is a prayer, Sandy. And everything and every, you know, and again, you know, it doesn't have to be. Start with 5 minutes in the morning. Move it to 10 minutes and 15 minutes. Ask the universe to use you that day. You know, universe, use me today. And also the Change Me Prayers brings you back to your own sense of self. And a room that, you know, don't let anybody else change you. Are you willing to be worth it? Are you willing to own your presence, own your medicine, and own your power? Because when you are, the world comes to you. And it's that discipline of prayer, whatever prayer is to you, because prayer again to me is it's very powerful and it's very, very private.
Very personal.
Very personal. Very personal. You know, I talk to the divine the same as I'm talking to you, and I give out to the divine the same way as I'm talking to you as well. You know what I mean? It's just a very personal. And I just say, find your own way. And I think that's what this book, Change Me Prayers, that's what Tasha does. I think it'll be a very personal journey when you read her book.
So if of those 10 books, you wanted to give one to someone that you cared for, a young person who was just starting out on their spiritual journey, which one would you give them?
Oh, goodness me. Now you've really caught me. Which one I give them standing, going out? I'd actually probably give them the one on silence. Because I think when you learn to see on the inside, you learn to truly see on the outside. And then you put your eyes on the inside, looking out at the world as a different place. You know, because, yeah, I do a lot of work on leadership across the world. And I say to people, be the leader you want everybody else to be. That's it in a sentence. Be it. And it's, you know, what did they say, Sandy? The shortest journey we will ever take is from the head to the heart. And yet so many of us never take it, do we? And it's the shortest journey, you know. And I'd say to a young person, always ask yourself, what does my mind want? What does my heart want?
What is my soul?
What does soul want? And then I found, I look back now from an early age, I think I found that silence in the early morning. And through that, I learned to discern the inner voice. And the inner voice for me, and again, it's very personal, it's very quiet. It always is very quiet. Never comes and demands. It never roars. It never shouts. It just comes to me very, very quiet. And I would encourage any young person right now, find that still inner voice. Find their inner sat-nav. Live by it. Let that become your compass in life. And many times it will say to you to walk away or to be still. Always honor it. And when you honor it, I promise you, you'll one day get to 58 like I am. And you'll say, do you know what? I have always followed the call of the soul.
Well, the call of your soul and the journey that you've taken, you know, and looking at your book list, you'll never be alone, because you've got all of this inside you, and you know that interior so well that you couldn't possibly ever be lonely.
Yes. You are never alone when you have that invisible presence with you. It's funny, I did have a tear only last Saturday. I was putting up for Christmas along the banister. You know, I was just putting up all the Christmas wreath. And just for a moment, I had a stab of what I thought was aloneness. Because I have two beautiful children. One's in Australia and the other's in Ecuador. And I thought, oh, but normally to have the children here with me, and this Christmas I won't. And then, as you rightly said, I just almost heard the little voice saying, what? You have the invisible presence. You're never alone. Because when you think of it, we come into this world alone. And when the time comes to go, we'll take that breath in and we'll breathe out our next breath in the next world. But we will do it with that invisible presence.
Yes. So you have many, many achievements. You know, we've just talked about a few of them in your life. What are you most proud of?
Well, first, let me tell you, I'm a very ordinary woman. I live an extraordinary life only because of the choices that I make every day.
Mm.
That's the first thing. And I learned very young as well that every 9 seconds we can make a new choice. So choices. I'm most proud of being a mother, number one, and my two children.
Mm.
Because success is a fleeting thing.
Yeah.
I'm most proud of that. And probably in my own quiet company, I'm most proud that I remember many, many years ago in Dallas, a beautiful man, I was at a National Speakers Association, and he said to me, "You're a soul woman, you're a woman of soul." And he said, "That's what you are." And I remember people came along in the early 2000s and said to me, "Put that away. Put that away. That'll hurt your brand. It'll hurt your brand, Molly Harvey. You need to put that away." And I thought to myself, you know what? I can't put that away. If I have to put that away, that's who I am.
Yeah.
If you have to put the essence of your presence away for anybody, do me a favor. Close the door and let another door open.
Mm.
That's what I'm most proud of.
Yeah. Well, one of your books, and I don't know if it's the latest one, is called Make Changes, Not Excuses. And you created the Making Changes, Not Excuses program and set up a global community of women making changes. So tell me about that.
Well, I think I can tell you by the first sentence that I use, and it says, "Yesterday ended last night." But for a lot of us, how many of us, Sandy, especially us women, were carrying yesterday, were carrying last year, were carrying 15 years ago? So that's the first thing. Yesterday ended last night. And I think as women, I'd hope to be called an encourager. And to lift each other up, you know, and lift each other up and be kind, be kind. Be authentic, be kind, be real, be you. Because we wear so many different masks today. You know, we have so many different faces. But Make Changes, Not Excuses is also encouraging you as a woman to get out of your own way.
Mm.
Because I say to people, you know, nobody will ever doubt you. The only person will ever doubt you is yourself.
Yourself.
And if you could see what I can see in you, you'd never doubt again.
Mm-hmm.
You see, until I was 13 years old, and this is going to sound strange, I thought everybody else could do it. Because, you know, as children, we see things, we're open. I could not tell you what somebody wore. But I saw the essence of the presence. I saw the soul. I saw the vibration of the soul. And I can remember in the little village in Ireland, you know, down from the estate, an old woman told me once to put it away. She said, "You need to put that stuff away." And now today, more and more, it's almost becoming more a place on everybody's lips to talk the word vibration or frequency or whatever. But not so long ago, Sandy, when you and I were growing up, it was a bit woo-woo, you know, and now, so, you know, and Making Changes, Not Excuses is very, very practical book. Full of practical exercises that you can actually start to put into your life.
Mm. And on your website, you have a free 6-step blueprint that you give people.
Absolutely. They don't even need to buy the book. They can just, you'll get it from the blueprint. Get on the website, mollyharvey.com on the website, and just please use it. Mm. You know, the other thing is, you know, listen to the words that come out of our mouth, because our words have energy. Our words have color, actually. There's a color to that vibration. And be careful, you know, and I would say, get yourself an excuse box or an excuse jar. Put it on your kitchen table. If you have young children, get the children to do it as well. Or, you know, and then for 21 days, every excuse you hear coming out of your mouth, write it in a piece of paper, throw it in the jar. And every time you use the same excuse, throw it in the jar. And then you'll have a big wake-up call after 21 days because you'll be able to count how many times you've used the same excuse.
Yeah.
And that's how practical the book is. The excuse jar is just one little gem in it. And it's make it simple.
I love the whole idea of that. And I love that you are doing that for women. Not that I have anything against men, but I think that many, many women are brought up to use excuses all the time. And they're told, you know, what they can't do much more than they're told what they can do. So, yeah, thank you for doing that. We're almost out of time, Molly. Very, very quickly, one last question. Give me a very short answer. What is left for you to do?
Follow the call of my soul.
Okay, that's a good one. Molly Harvey, thank you for adding your 10 best list of spiritual books to the No BS Spiritual Book Club's Library of Recommendation. We really appreciate your doing this for us.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. It's been such an honour.
You're so welcome. So for more information on Molly Harvey, her work, books and Making Changes, Not Excuses programme, visit her website, mollyharvey.com and harveyglobal.com. That's it for this week. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer and I'll be back at the same time next week with another 10 best interview for the No BS Spiritual Book Club. Till then, it's goodbye from me and thank you again to Molly Harvey.
Thank you.